This podcast is brought to you by Church of Living Waters. Find out more information at colw.info. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Praise God. Are you ready today? I don't know if you heard, but I want to make emphasis here talking about a New Testament church. It's not my message today, but the word says, and it's very clear about a New Testament church, that believers are the body. That you are a believer and that you're connected to a body. And it continues to say, and it does not bring me up because I'm preaching today. Amen? It doesn't say that he's the head, the pastor or the preacher's the neck, and everybody else is the body. It says that he's the head, we are the body. And so you saw example today of like Brother Bob coming up. That was needed today. As he said, God told me, I know that. So as the body comes together and as the body comes and it brings what God's saying, then the body is reached out to. It's for the edifying of God's body that he uses the body. Amen. He also wants us to know, you know, if he could construct and to breathe out this book with over 40 people writing it, and there's never been anything proven wrong, he does not want to just use a man. Come on. He's not going to have one man reach this city. He's going to have a body reach the city. You know, I have to say before I start today, one of the main reasons when my dad asked me, and he came to me and said, Darren, it's time now. It's time for you now to lead. It's time for you now to be the pastor. And I said, oh, Dad, I don't know if it's time. Brother, it's good to see Mr. Lenars here today. Yeah, come on. Sorry, I just recognized him. Make sure today you get over there and give this amazing man a hug today. Amen? Praise God. But I would say, Dad, I don't know for sure. I don't know. And he said, well, I want you to pray because this is what God is saying to me. And if you have to know that my dad was not only my father, my earthly father, same blood, but he was also my spiritual father. And when he would say something, he knew that he had direct input in my life. I knew that God could speak to me, but if my dad said that God said, let me tell you, you need someone in your life that when they say God says, you can trust. Now that's not going to be everybody. Come on. You're not going to have a bunch of those God said things, but you're going to need to have one or two people that can come into your life and say, this is what I believe God is saying. And your ears are just like my ears when my dad said that. Because my first answer to him wanted to say, no, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And you're a mighty preacher and you're going to continue. But he said to go off and pray. And the biggest thing that I had is a question. And God's not afraid of questions. And my biggest thing to God was, God, if you call me to be a pastor, this was a pretty selfish thing, but I'm just going to say it. If you call me to be a pastor, it's going to slow down the process of me seeing this city come to Christ. Can you believe that? Wow. Can you believe that I had that boldness to share that in front of God? And, you know, just humbly, I have to say, because I know the word in Luke chapter 10, verse 2 says this. It says that the harvest fields are ripe. That they're white as snow. They've been like that ever since. And then it continues to say that he's the harvester of the fields. I praise God that he's the harvester of the fields. But then it continues to say, and it's been prayed after prayed after prayed to pray for the workers to come into the fields. And you know, God, I'm a worker. All I want to do is work. I'm one of those workers that's going to work in your field every day of my life. I want to wake up and I want to do what I'm supposed to do, but every day I want to say, God, I want to do something big for you today. Whatever it's going to take, whatever it's going to do. And God, if I'm going to stand behind the pulpit, it's going to slow down that process because you said yourself there was just a few workers. Come on. And God corrected me. And he said, son, first of all, this pulpit's very, it's not just a pulpit here. men and women of God have served in this ministry for 38 years. And by blood, sweat, and tears, come on. I have to say it again. By blood, sweat, and tears, we continue and remain. We're just not a start day by night, just a quick thing. No, we're rooted into the ground here. We are deep. Foundation, roof, and everything solid. We're ready for a move of God. Because the ones before us. And he said, son, behind this pulpit. And first of all, I want you to know it's just not that pulpit. You're going to carry the pulpit everywhere you go. But behind this pulpit, you will see Rosenberg and Richmond come to Christ. Yep. Isn't that pretty cool that she does that? That's just awesome, isn't it? I just can't wait till some of you start doing that. Thank you. And, you know, so when I heard that, I said, okay, God, let's do it. And, you know, I continue to come to that scripture. And in my life, I'm just a worker. I'm thankful that every day and my wife can stand. Yes, we have to do things in the home. I have six kids. I have a dad that I care for. But every day, I want to do something for God. I want to help a family. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to pick up furniture from one family, to take it to a family in need, and to do all of that. And I blessed a bunch of little families by doing that. I want to do it every day. I want Jesus to know, and I want the people to know that I'm representing the King that's come in and changed my life. So much ministry is in front of workers. Do you know that I'm overwhelmed with the harvest? As a worker, I'm really overwhelmed with the harvest. That today, if you want to go with me and we go out today, I guarantee you we will see people come to Christ. It's a guarantee. It's every day. And I'm not here saying, look at me. Please hear that. I'm here saying what the word says, the harvest is ripe. It's true. And so what God has been speaking to me is that I'm just now preparing all kinds of ministry. I have so much ministry all over the place. Everywhere I turn, there's so much ministry. Every night of the week, we need workers. We need workers on Tuesday night in the juvenile detention center. It's ready. You can go this Tuesday night if I can go with you. We need. We don't have anybody right now in the women's jail. We need women in the jail. We have some men. We need more men. I get the opportunity to go Wednesday night in the prison to preach. We have a whole city that God is asking us. It's not our Jerusalem. It's our Judea, right down the street, where God's saying, "I want the city to come to Christ." Are you ready, church? Got three amens. I'm not asking you to amen. I just want you to see that. Are you ready? Because guess what? I'm hearing only two words, and it's a prophetic word to everybody in this room today. You ready for a prophetic word? Many of you have asked and wanted prophetic words. Here it is. It's time. Whatever God has been speaking to you, whatever dreams, whatever things that he's been placing in you, well, it's time to do it now. Time's running out. It's time. If you've heard anything in the past, anything about this or anything about that, prophetically, I'm speaking into this ministry, it's time. It's time. I want you this morning, as we're going to do a couple of weeks now, because this message is so overwhelming to me with what God is wanting to do. I want you to think of a person that you care deeply about. Or maybe a time that you had just begun a relationship with someone. Would someone have to drag you, kicking and screaming, to spend time with that person? I have to stop here. The first time I laid eyes on my wife, Gamila, and that time she wasn't my wife, she was Gamila, the most beautiful lady in the world. But when I saw Gamila and laid eyes on her, I've said this before, she just walked around with a fan blowing on her hair. It was just blowing everywhere. I mean, and she didn't walk quickly. She walked in slow motion. No one had to drag me to meet that young lady. And anything that we prepared and anything that we would maybe plan, I was on time. I was not going to be late. Come on. You think about that person often. You imagine the next time you can get together and you find ways to connect until you can see each other face to face. Anybody remember that? Anybody have that? Anybody's experienced that? Come on, am I talking to you? Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you feel that way about God? Dreaming of the next opportunity you get to spend concentrated time with Him. You know, what might be keeping you from feeling that way with Him? Because see, God has created a love relationship with us. And we're calling out and we're singing, I'm a lover of your presence, but God is already saying and He's already established with what He's done for us with sacrifice, I'm a lover of you. I love you. I created you. And there's nothing that you can do that will make me love you more. I love you. And I want you to be able to have your ability to receive my love even more. So God's love is constant. He's here to love us. I want to talk about a few things. We're going to speak this morning about overcoming fear. And before I get into that, I have to say that I have understood the torment of fear. And there are people in this room today that understand what I'm saying. I don't have to say another word. You know what I'm talking about. My children saw things that they shouldn't have to see. And because they saw those things, we have had to come out of unbelievable levels of fear that I can't even explain to you. Levels of fear that if I fall asleep, something could happen. See, those are levels that God never created for us to have to go through. Do you know that God created fear? I mean, there's nothing wrong if there's a big lion over here for me to take a step back. God created that kind of fear in our lives. And the enemy's love to grab that thing that was made to be good, and he's grabbed it, and he's turned it all the way around, and he loves to say, boo. Let me speak just a few minutes and we'll get going. First, we are never promised a life free of temptation. James chapter 1 verse 13 states, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. Notice the verse says this, when he is tempted, not if. Jesus was tempted but did not sin. If we expect a life free from temptation, then we expect to be more free than even Jesus was, because Jesus was tempted. Temptation is to be expected all around us. But we can learn to practice God's empowered self-control and how to respond when temptation comes. See, he doesn't say that temptation is not going to come. But he'll say, and said this many times, that I'll give you the strength to make it through any temptation that comes your way. Second, then, we need to spend our lives, when we spend our lives micromanaging a particular struggle, listen to this, we quickly lose the sight of the bigger picture. The enemy loves for us to focus on that one thing. That one thing then that pulls us and stops us, and the enemy can just push that button and you just crumble. That one thing that our focus is on, we quickly lose the sight of the bigger picture. We're not simply the sum of our problems. Listen to this. Our identity should not be defined by our struggles or our temptations. I'll say it again. Our identity should not be defined by our struggles or by our temptations. Our identity is defined by our Creator, our Heavenly Father. Let's look. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me just read it, starting with verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And the word continues to say, neither fornicators nor idolaters nor... Come on, we can now list a whole listing here. You just read the whole next couple of chapters. Nor drunkards, nor extortioners, all of these things, listen, will inherit the kingdom of God. But I love then verse 11 what it says. And such were some of you. That's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. See, a lot of people preach that. And they preach it, and they'll preach the law, and they'll preach, man, because I'm telling you, every one of us would have to stand. And every one of us would have to hear about not inheriting the kingdom of God. But then the word continues in verse 11, and it says, and such were some of you, but you were washed. Come on. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I praise God. String of offenders who will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then the punchline, and some of them were you. Our identity as believers in Jesus Christ no longer lies in how our struggle with sin manifests itself. We are a new creation, adopted children of the Most High God. Our identity now rests in God and rests in God alone. Now, I'm not here to, I'm here to dig a little deeper this morning. Because see, if I just shout a little word, lay a little hand on you, and believe that we're going to be free from something like fear, I'm foolish. Because the enemy has a stronghold of fear. And I'm telling you, almost everything that stops us and keeps us away from the plan and purpose of God has one four-letter word, and it's fear. Freedom is not the absence of something. See, many of us try to just list what it is. Oh, I'm that, and I have that in my life. Oh, I'm someone that looks at the computer at night, and so I check that off. And I'm going to try with everything I have. Honey, turn the computer off at 9 o'clock. Whatever, whatever, whatever. I'm going to try not to do it. Let me tell you, trying's not going to do it. You're not going to be able to X that off. Someone told me day 22 is the worst day of your life. Because you think you can do something for 21 days, and 22, you always fail. Who gave us that thing of you can just stop a habit in 21 days? Boy, 22 is a tough day, isn't it? So freedom is not the absence of something. It's the presence of someone. If you want a definition of what freedom is, that's your definition. Freedom is not the absence of something. See, we're trying to be free. I'm trying to be free of this. I'm trying to be free of that. It's not being free of these things. It is the presence of someone that's in your life. Our freedom is found in one place, and it's God, and God is the freedom giver. Come on. God made you. He made you for more. God made you. He made you for more. More than merely struggling through life, gasping for air, more than grasping at whatever you can find to fill the emptiness, more than you can think or imagine, our God created for you. You made all, the word says in Psalms 139, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. We're talking this morning about fear. I want to read out a few fears this morning because there could be some people say, oh, I don't know about that fear thing. I don't know. Fear of Satan. Fear of divorce. Fear of death. Fear of not being loved by God. Fear of never being loved. Fear of not being able to love others. Fear of marriage. Fear of rejection by people. Fear of never getting married. Fear of never having children. Fear of disapproval. Come on, I can just continue. Fear of embarrassment. Fear of failure. Fear of becoming homosexual. Fear of financial problems. Fear of going crazy. Fear of being hopeless case. Fear of the death of a loved one. Fear of the future. Fear of confrontation. Fear of being victimized by crime. fear of losing my salvation, fear of committing the unpardonable sin, fear of specific people, animals, objects, and it goes on and on and on and on. The enemy knew when he came to destroy that he could do it through fear. Unless you have experienced the chilling choke hold of fear, you cannot begin to imagine the terror of its presence or the horror of its possible return. Now, I'm talking to people here today. This word, I always know when God has delivered a word for me to give. I came here last night and all I could do was cry. All I could do this morning was just cry in front of his presence. Just saying, God, let my mouth be your mouth today. And today is a day we're digging deep in this because God wants to go deep into you being free. He's already done what he's going to do. He's wanting us to receive what he's done. And he wants the enemy to flee from your life. He doesn't want the enemy to be a hold. You know, the only stronghold I want in my life is a stronghold of God. I'm going to have a stronghold, and it's going to be stronghold of God. Every other one, as the word says, is going to be blown up and demolished. I'm not going to be held or hung by chains that are going to stop me to do God's purpose and God's will. There's not going to be a man I'm going to be afraid of to speak the life of Jesus to. There's not going to be a group of people there. And I have to say this. You would not believe how I've overcome fear in my life. And the only way that I've overcome fear by receiving and accepting the one that has accepted me. When I was young, there was no way I could stand in front of a class and say anything. I would be one of the ones that would say, can I do it by writing it out? I couldn't speak out. I was nervous. My name is Robert Darren Frank. I have three middle names. Three first names, I'm sorry. And every teacher would not know what name to call me. So every class I was called something else because I was not bold enough to stand up and say, please call me Darren. So in this class, my name was Frank. In that class, my name was Robert. Then my name was Darren. I just went by all of them. You know, people were saying, man, you got all kinds of names. And the reason was is I couldn't stand up and say, please call me this because I was too shy. I was too afraid what was going to happen. I was driven by fear. There are people here that are driven by fear. See, I was a young boy in ministry. And you know what happened to me? I went to every funeral that my mom and dad conducted. And I'm telling you, it didn't have greatness on me. I was afraid that that was going to be me or going to be one of my loved ones at the next funeral. And that was not just something that was there. It was a driving fear. It was every night that I was laying in bed crying, saying, God, please help me. Please don't do this. Please, please, please. And you know, the enemy would love just to push a button and then leave me alone because I would just fall down in that fear. Am I speaking to someone today? Do you know that fear of death is a major fear? I mean, it's like the backing of all kinds of fears. Fear of the dark. Why are you afraid of the dark? Because I might go in the dark and die. Claustrophobia. Man, there was times where I had so much claustrophobia. We were in Guatemala one time, and we had to put on these hard hats and put on this stuff, and we were going to crawl into a cave. And I'm like, what? I mean, you know, I'm pretty big anyway. It was like you crawl in one way, and the only way you can get back is scoot back. So I started crawling in halfway, and I'm telling you, I was gripped in fear. I couldn't get out. I couldn't go forward. I couldn't go back. It was like, God, you're going to take me right here. They don't even have to bury me. Just leave me in this rock. The tragedy of fear's cruel dominion is heightened when the victim is a child. A child who may carry this awful burden well into adulthood. The following, I'm going to read a testimony here that my mom counseled. But before I do that, I have to thank Church Living Waters for reaching out to my children. And I don't do that lightly. Because, see, like I said a couple of weeks ago, for like Big John, This was not just a church that Big John went to on the weekends. This was who he was. This is all that he had. And I have to say that for me and my family, this is just not something we come do on the weekends. This is who we are. You are family. You are my kids' aunts and uncles. You are. And I'm here to tell you, because of the body and because of the love that you've given out from the body, my children are healed. But yeah, some ways I'm speaking by faith, activating my faith. You know, some of my kids are afraid of the dark. It's okay to be a little bit afraid of the dark. Come on. We're pressing forward. We're going to believe that we're going to stand. And in the dark, Jesus is going to be there with us. This is the message that I'm not just coming out, pulling out. This is a message that I've lived. And I'm telling you, this message of being free from fear, the freedom that I received from being free of fear was the freedom that allowed me to step up and say, God, here I am to serve you. It's why I'm doing what I'm doing right now, because fear is behind me. It's why that I'm able to press forward every day, because fear is over there. It doesn't mean that fear doesn't come up on me. But when it comes up on me, I understand how I'm free. And I understand what it takes to be free and the cost that was there. And I say, leave me alone, fear. All right. One of the main things that my mom had was a great counseling ministry. And her counseling was just acceptance. She loved people right where they were. It didn't matter what sin, it didn't matter what you looked like, it didn't matter what you were, it didn't matter what you brought. She looked across the table and she would say, Jesus loves you. And I found in some of her notes, you know, I have notes after notes after notes. But I found a note of a lady, and I remember this lady in our family, and I just wanted to read it today. Can you receive it today? The following testimony is a such story of a woman that was gripped in fear. The mighty river rushes on, headed for its destination. I see my life floating upon the water. I am carried gently and freely. Clouds above me are broken by streaks of sunlight, revealing the secrets and mysteries of the calm river. It's as if for a moment I see a glimpse of God Himself. Suddenly, a storm comes forth, ripping and tearing at the calm, destroying the peace. The storm unjustly attacks and destroys my innocence. Senselessness, an abandoned child cries in the night from deep within, fearful of what is unknown. Tears fall to the ground, unseen and unshared, for there is no one else. The frightened child crouches low, waiting for the storm to pass. But the storm rages out of control like a vicious animal. The river crashes, beating mercilessly against the cold, hard rocks, and lashes out against the child's bent and trembling body. Greedy fingers of water grab for the lonely, frightened child, taunting, teasing, terrorizing. The once gentle river now tortures. Foam-lined lips grin hideously and bite ferociously. The child weeps, now wet and weakened, waiting for someone. No one comes. The dark night has no end, and the storm continues its rampage while the child whimpers in fear, clinging to the cold, bare rock and prays. This is a story of a woman who was forced into a satanic cult as a young girl. The physical abuse she went through was terrifying. She found her way into two churches, neither of which was equipped to handle the severe bondage in her life. But God has truly begun to answer her prayers as a child, as the end of her testimony reveals. And it's really neat finding these kind of things in my mom's study, knowing that my mom was used mightily in not only one lady's life, but many. At this point, terror is a mild word for what I began to experience. Rumors begin to fly. People were leaving the church, afraid that my demons would jump on them and their families. One pastor accused me of putting a curse on his family. The nightmares were terrifying. Flashbacks became a daily occurrence. It seemed hopeless. I was convinced that I was destined to be a child of the demons forever. Then circumstances led me to a very special lady. Initially, the work she did with me seemed to be failing. My anxiety level was so high, and the demonic and had much control over me. Her attempts at helping me find freedom seemed like jumbled words. Fear dominated my whole life. Her love and acceptance for me for who I was, not afraid of the demons I carried. She put her hands on my cheeks and drew me close and said these words that I continue to hang on to. No matter what you have been through or are going through, Jesus wants to set you free. That's the reason he came. But now for the first time, there is a hope and a desire to live free in Christ. I no longer want to die. I am beginning to see tragedy turned into opportunity. You know, the word of God says in Isaiah chapter 61, it says these things, and it's our mission here. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. See, Jesus is still in the freedom ministry. He is still the freedom giver. Come on. If I need to proclaim it this morning in your life, he is still the freedom giver. He is still here to proclaim freedom. But he does it differently. He does it differently in this hour. He uses me and he uses you. So, you know, in this message that I'm going to be preaching the next couple of weeks, it's either for you, and it's probably for most of us, or it's for you to go out to someone else. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to confront all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, with the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting. Praise God. Let's turn our Bibles just quickly to James chapter 4. It's going to take me a few weeks to get this out. We will be praying here in a second for people that fear is gripping, because God wants you to know today that you can be free. James provides the biblical basis for finding and maintaining freedom for fear. So if this is you, I really want you to grab this. I want you to go back into these scriptures this week. I want God to be able to speak into you. This is what the Word of God says. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Thank you, Bob, for speaking that out today. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. This right here is the basis of finding and maintaining freedom for fear. This scripture right here to stand on, and to not only stand on it, to let it become part of you, you will receive freedom. The key to freedom, we need to stop submitting to fear and start submitting to God. We must stop submitting to fear and start submitting to God. The word submit means to subject oneself to some authority. It was a military term meaning to rank or arrange under. Submitting means letting go of the reins and putting them in the hands of someone who is superior in rank. To submit to God is to come under his authority. It is to acknowledge the omnipresence, the omnipotence of our Heavenly Father. We are acknowledging him as the only legitimate fear object when we submit to him. The essence of humility is to put no confidence in the flesh and choose to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm telling you, fear striking me, that all I could do was just see fear. And fear had me laying down in a bed and I couldn't get up because I was afraid. Not only afraid of what happened, but afraid something's going to continue to happen. You know, my family was pretty aggressive. The Frank family was pretty aggressive. And the enemy has come and he's tried to tell me many times, now I've taken three Franks out. I got one to go and you're next. Come on. I don't like to give room to the enemy, but we need to talk about the enemy when we're talking about fear. Because he's about fear. So I've taken three out, and you want me to remind you how I did that? I will. What? Where's your mom? Come on, this is the enemy speaking. He tries to grip me in those things. Tries to grip me in fear. You know, it's not someone looking at me. It's the enemy himself. Do you know you're not fighting against people? If it's a person telling me that, it's the enemy. He just bypasses people and he comes straight to me. You're not being led by someone that's afraid of the enemy. He's already tried to take me. And guess what? If he does try to do anything in my life and my life is over with, then it went through the hands of my sovereign God. And it was my day anyway. Come on, do you hear that? I'm not crazy enough to say, okay, it's all of that. If I jump off the building today, guess what? Today's my day. You know, God's not going to swoop underneath there and carry me because it's not my day. If I do something foolish and do that kind of stuff, he's going to already know that I was foolish. You hear me? But I'm here to tell you the reason that I was able to walk away from fear in this situation is that I stopped submitting to it. It drove me. It was the first thing I thought about. It was all I thought about. And God started speaking to me, Matthew 6:33. And he started speaking to me what that word says. It says, seek first the kingdom of God. See, I stopped submitting to fear. It was the first thing I thought about. It was all I did. Instead of thinking about fear, thinking about what the enemy said, thinking about death, thinking I can list, thinking about divorce, thinking about losing my children, thinking about losing a loved one, thinking about fear of man, I started submitting to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things were added. James 4, it speaks about, as I seek him, he seeks me. See, as I seek fear, guess what? Fear is seeking me. I'll never forget. I praise God. I saw him a little bit earlier. My Uncle Kenny. Man, I'm telling you, if a thief breaks into my uncle's house, that's the wrong house to break into. He has over 200 guns. And I'm telling you, he'll pull them from everywhere. You know, he's got one under his pillow underneath. I mean, that would be the wrong house to... I'm sure Kenny doesn't have protected by whatever, because he's got protection. Is he here today? I saw him earlier. But I'll never forget, as kids, his daughter was babysitting us. And we were just right down the street in our home. My mom and dad had left, and we heard a sound. Now, come on, you know, with kids, when you hear a sound, I mean, that sound turns into what? Another sound. And you're quiet. Shh, did y'all hear that? What? There goes the wind hitting the window. It's like, I mean, you know, we were just like shaking. And my cousin Trixie, what she did is she had us all go underneath the beds and hide. I mean, that was even worse because isn't there something underneath the bed, you know? And so she calls my uncle, Kenny. And I'm telling you, it was like Jesus himself coming. Kenny was strapped with guns on the back. I mean, he had that thing where the bullets were right in here, you know, had his... Kenny was just waiting for the call. And he checked every closet, he checked every bed, he checked everything. And I'm telling you, when he came into that house, fear was gone. But if he wouldn't have come, we would have probably died right there of the wind hitting the windows. I almost had a heart attack with that wind because someone was knocking and my brother was always messing with me. He's going to get us. He had this story called Black Coffin, and finally Black Coffin's here. Have you ever been there around the campfire? And man, you're just so terrified. Let me tell you, let's don't do this to our kids. Let's don't. Some of the cultures here talking about the bird that flies or whatever. I mean, this thing, that bird that will eat you. It's maybe stuff to allow that to pass a generation. Because all that does is seed fear into our kids. I wanted to say that, and I'll close with that. And we're going to pick up and just finish this message. I believe that many will be free from fear. And what God has spoken to me, that fear is what's holding you back from His purpose and plan. And guess what? When you pass this and you're free, just like myself, then I was called a worker of the kingdom of God. And fear was behind me. I say that, but I wanted you to hear this. That when my Uncle Kenny came, there was a presence that came in the room of safety. The first thing that God spoke to me to tell my sister's four kids, and I didn't know how I could say this, but He said to say it, is you are safe here. I said that within hours of losing their mother and my mother. I want you to let them know that they are safe. And I don't know about you, but there was something when my uncle came in the room that safety did to us. It allowed us to rise up away from anything that fear did. And because God backed what I told him, that they are safe. You know, He backed it. It was Him, the one that said it. I even questioned and said, God, how can we be safe? You tell them that. Because of the safety that they heard from me and God backing it, that's why my children are healed today. Because of the presence of God that came in. Because of the presence, like the presence of my uncle that came in with all those guns. We have the King of Kings that come into the presence. And it doesn't matter where I go. It doesn't matter how dark it is. It doesn't matter what the enemy's saying. It doesn't matter if there's thousands of people that I'm speaking to. It's like speaking to one. Because of the presence of God that surrounds me. See, fear is dominated by dark. Dominated by demons, dominated by His voice. And it takes you like the wind hitting the glass deeper and deeper and deeper. How far are you going to let it go? Because it can kill you. It can take your life from you. Allow God to come in with His presence. I'm a lover of His presence. Because outside of His presence, and I've stepped there and I've been there, it's not a place I want to be. It's not a place I'm gonna be outside of His presence, outside of His loving arms, outside of His safety. See, I can go anywhere in the world if God tells me to go there because I'm surrounded by His arms. If you stand with me today. One of the things that I want you, if I'm speaking to you today, I have a sheet and it's on the back table and it's the fear-busting names of God. There's about eight names that I want you just to start looking at in the scriptures. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that will provide. To know these Old Testament names and be able to call them out. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. I want you just to look at those and start looking at the scriptures and be able to start proclaiming. I also want you to continue to look in James chapter 4. About that submitting. Not submitting to fear, but submitting to God. And we're going to see Church of Living Waters. We're going to see every person here, every one of our members, every person that's around us going to be free from fear, brother. You claim that this morning. Let's just claim it. I'm going to be free from fear. See, for us to do what God's called us to do in this city, we must have free fear behind us. And we must be, something next week I'm going to be speaking about is how the body encourages. Because fear has to fall down when encouragement comes. Have you ever seen like a little one, thank y'all, we're going to get going here. A little one come and they're going to sing a song and maybe they forget the words. Man, that's just like, I'd never want my kids to sing a song because they might forget the words. Isn't that fear come on me? Come on, I'm free from that. But what happens when a little one forgets the words and the encouragement comes to that little one? Have you ever seen that? I mean, she'll just rise up and she'll just catch on another word and just go with it. And the whole crowd stands up and gives her a standing ovation. And it's all good. That's the body that God's called us to be in. Away from fear.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were encouraged and would love to hear from you. For more information on Church of Living Waters, check out colw.info.